Welcome to the blockchain.
We are about to see massive disruptions. The way in which the new technologies are lowering the cost to make financial transactions more accessible.
We're going to raise a fund, we're going to build a business, and hopefully take advantage of the what I see as a revolution, actually, a decentralized revolution.
Look, I think it's real. I do. The vision for these systems, the cryptocurrency systems, Bitcoin and Ethereum, is to create a global set of payment rails, the same way that the internet is a global set of information rails. That's what they're trying to do, and there's a lot of momentum and a lot of validity to that vision.
But this is the last time I'm ever going to answer a question about Bitcoin because I really don't care.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Henry Rain Show here on WWPR 1490 AM. Heard every Saturday, 12.05 p.m., more or less. Hoping you're tuning in live now, but if you're not, don't worry. Everything went just according to plan. It, just like it does always, every week here on the Henry Rain Show. That last voice you heard was the lovable Jamie Dimon, and he'll have another featured segment here on this week's show. But the big news, Bitcoin hits an all-time high, but it's a mixed bag for other cryptocurrencies. Jamie Dimon breaks his one-day silence to call Bitcoin investors stupid. SegWit 2X, Bitcoin Gold, not to mention Ethereum Byzantium upgrade, what's it all mean? And another voice you heard, I think that we're about to see massive disruptions. That's the managing director of the International Monetary Fund, Christine Lagarde, what she thinks about cryptocurrencies and Bitcoin, as well as others. And we have a full panel and a round table today on the phone and in the studio. And starting with Solis Digital Assets, Alex Solis in the house. Good afternoon, Alex.
Welcome, everybody. How's everybody doing?
Hopefully well, and that's not all. We have a new guest in the house, too, but I'm also pleased to see the return of our guest from last week who had a lot of impact on the show. TradingView.com's Goldbug One. Also known as Andy or Andrew or whatever he'll answer to here when he comes in. Goldbug, good to have you back.
Thank you very much, Henry. I'm glad to be back. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, thanks for being here. And we're going to cross our fingers on this next one because the phone lines are just one of the risks here in the Bitcoin world of WWPR 1490. And hopefully on the other end of this phone line is the CEO of Byte Federal. Byte Federal, the company that's putting Bitcoin ATMs all around the state of Florida. Lee, are you with us?
I am. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for your patience as we sorted through a few issues here today. And before we get into the topics that we wanted to talk with you about and your expertise, especially the technical side of that, I want to welcome a new panelist, roundtable member, We'll just play this and hopefully get to know her better. Well, and I promise to have something more creative for the next time we introduce her, as soon as she gives it to me. And that would be, if you're following her on Twitter, you would know her at CryptoGirl. That new crypto noob girl rolls off the tongue, but for the time being, we might just call her Colleen. And thank you for being here today, Colleen.
No, thanks, Henry. It's great to be here.
Yes, glad you could be here, too. All right, so we had a lot happen this week in the world of cryptocurrency, and we're going to have Lee in on this in just a moment to tell us why this happened. It's on the way up. All right, it's on the way up, Lee, and that's Bitcoin prices, as well as now Ethereum, Litecoin, some of the other ones. Some are on the way down. What was moving the market today and beyond us the week passed, and that was when Bitcoin hit a high, according to one exchange, of $5,856. It is trading in the 5,700s, according to Coinbase, right now at the time of our show broadcast, and it was just hitting a record the previous day before that all-time high of passing through 5,000. What's your make on all this, Lee?
I think it's an ever-increasing popularity, and there are a lot more individuals coming into the space that are investing and not using it as a currency. So they're making the supply more and more finite, while there's an ever-increasing interest and, investment in the varying cryptocurrencies, but specifically Bitcoin.
No, it was just seems like 2 weeks ago we had something close to an all-time high and then a crash or a dip or however you want to look at it. Things move so fast, and people were lamenting the loss of so much market cap. We're back to about over $170 billion again from our previous high just last month. What are you finding with Bite Federal and the ATMs that you're placing around? Are you getting more activity, something that's very noticeable and measurable in these short periods? I know it's a constantly growing successful business for you, but in the last month, what have you seen with your users?
Well, we're in Florida, of course, so what we experience is definitely seasonally related. July and August, July wasn't terrible, but August and September were pretty bad months all around, and I suspect that has to do with the impact of, seasonal locals, right? So the seasonal locals save up all their money all winter, and they almost make it through summer, and then they run out of jing, so we see a massive downstroke in usage in our network. But within the last, 3 weeks, things have really ramped up again.
And, of course, in the state of Florida, you have the hurricane problems, too, that have probably affected activity quite a bit also.
Yeah, absolutely.
Week, we talked about the fact that the rumors were starting to go in the other way as regards to China, as far as the outlawing or banning of the exchanges, that they're moving back towards a licensing situation. Have you heard anything about that?
Yeah, it's interesting. There's been a lot of conjecture, a lot of different people in the space, basically making up what they think is happening. From our perspective, everything that's been announced about China is right in line with what the exchanges in those areas and the other companies in that space are saying, in that China is trying to basically launch its own cryptocurrency and doesn't want to or wants to restrict the utilization of everything else that isn't their own centrally controlled currency. So, we see them rattling their saber, but all they're doing is taking away their own ability to capitalize on these new emerging markets.
Let me go over to Alex Solis of Solis Digital Assets. Now, you have clients that you advise, and in a two-week period, went from a high to below 3,000, at least momentarily. Now there's a new all-time high. What kind of questions are they asking? What were they asking you at the dip? What have they been asking you in the last couple of days?
It's crazy because before the Bitcoin was going up, it was like, oh, Alex, did I sell Bitcoin? Then when it's going up, everybody's like, Alex, did I sell my altcoins? And going to Bitcoin. So you could tell the mentality.
What do you tell them?
What I tell them is I said don't sell your Bitcoin because the fork's coming, everybody's going to dump it in. And I tell everybody, keep buying the alts. The alts are nobody even knows what these things are. Once everybody knows, then the market's going to be flooded. Everybody's
but there's thousands of them. How are you going to find out what the right ones are?
Yeah, you could call me for help or
I was hoping
or study hard.
I was trying to set it up. So
I make it easy.
How do they do that?
You can just call me 941-284-5028, or you go to solis.international. That's my website. It's going to be up the end of this week. Or go to my Facebook, Solis Digital Assets, and I definitely help you out with everything from the finding the best thing, the currency to invest in or trade, and how to get the wallets, how to get inside the Bitcoin phrase.
So for people that are moving on to actually trading on the exchanges, you're there for them. For people that just want to have something of convenience to get in and get started, they have the Bike Federal ATMs around. And Lee will tell you where those are near you soon and how you get started that way. But let me bring Goldbug into this because he's been very patient there. But I'm sure in the last 2 weeks you had a lot of thoughts going back and forth. Of course, if anybody looked you up at TradingView.com at the handle Goldbug1, they're going to find out what you're writing every day or more often than that. But what did you do going into the dip a week ago or a little over a week ago? And what were you doing in the 2 days on this incline here in the pricing? First of Bitcoin, but then a couple of the other major currencies were following, Litecoin first, then Ethereum.
Yeah, thanks, Henry. To be honest, there's a lot of things going on. There's a lot of variables, and there's a fundamental change coming into the market. And one of the issues we saw was actually a pullback, you know, around the $4,500 range, which did not happen. So we set our sights on 6,000. But
let me just to keep you accountable here. If you go back and listen to the podcast, you said accountable is not the right word, but reminding the listeners, you said you saw a path to 2,200 and you saw a path to 6,000 both.
That's correct. I mean, you have to take both variables into account. You can't just trade one way, or you don't realize what you're pretty much trading blind into the market.
So were you trading Bitcoin over the last week and a half?
Just some short-term trades, but nothing much, because the market's very volatile now. There's a lot of things going on within the space, especially with the upcoming fork, which is a fundamental change. One of the things that I wrote about today was about a liquidity issue. As people go into this fork, they're going to want to pull their money off the exchanges and out of even the Coinbases and such and put them on their personal wallet. So when the fork happens, they have access to that fork immediately and can trade it.
I'm sure Lee has a lot to add to that, but let me just ask a follow-up here to Goldbug. So is in your portfolio, you don't have to be specific about percentages or anything, is there just a portion of Bitcoin that you just hold?
Absolutely. I have a 70-30 portfolio. 70% of my coins are long-term holds. I do not sell them. I want to be in there for the runs, and you cannot market time. Market timers are losers.
Now, on the part that you hold, are you periodically accumulating a bigger holdings than those?
That's correct. With the 30% that I trade, I try to add to the core holdings.
Okay. Now I want to bring Colleen into this, crypto noob girl, Twitter. And we're going to talk a lot more to you in the second half of the show to find out more about how you got into this and all. But just as your observations, because this was a roller coaster ride for 2 weeks, mm-hmm. You might already be used to that from previous weeks on this, but what were you thinking about as things were going on from the dip to the new all-time high?
I don't know. I didn't sweat it much. It's I'm a holdler. I don't really trade a whole lot just yet. I haven't figured that out. So I just have faith that my coins are going to boom eventually, and I'll get that Lambo.
Well, we all want you to have that. And so are you mainly in just the mainstream? Well, none of these are really mainstream yet.
Right.
But the most well-known cryptocurrencies, or are you following some of
I've
Alex's
smaller ones?
I've got
a pretty mixed
ones.
Bag. I've got some pretty well-known ones, and then I've got some really unknown ones.
One of those ones Alex talks about every week.
There you go.
Okay. Well, we'll get back to that in a moment, but we've alluded to the fork that's coming. Bitcoin may be trading an all-time high, but the experts are wondering. There are some who believe now isn't the best time to buy the asset. After all, in just weeks, Bitcoin is like to see a split of the blockchain. And unlike some were hoping, it's an adversarial one. According to Chris Passia, Open Bazaar developer, Bitcoin traders are some of the most irrational investors you'll come across. This points to the fact that it's been an uptick in buying and what appears to be taking place, not just despite, but because of the coming fork now slated for November. It seems investors believe the momentum is warranted given the results of the hard fork in August, which split the network in two, did so in a way that created a new asset called Bitcoin Cash. It seems the investors are planning for the same result. Terry Yeh, managing partner of the crypto investment firm Binary Financial, told CoinDesk, investors are looking at it like, I'm going to get more tokens right now. It's just that simple. Ronnie Moas, the founder of Wall Street firm Standpoint Research, also echoed that, saying, I don't see investing in Bitcoin, SegWit 2X, closes in as risky, especially if you hold on to the spinoff. So, Lee, what's happening on this? What is the Bitcoin gold that's coming? Is this going to be like Bitcoin Cash, or how do you see it?
Well, let's see. I think first we should probably take a step back and realize that Bitcoin Cash is actually the original Bitcoin, and it should have carried forward the original Bitcoin name because it's the one that adheres to the Satoshi white paper, and the Bitcoin we're currently utilizing is, you know, a mutation of that. So, you know, as far as the future of the split, that's a crazy question.
Okay. Well, now you told us what you just told us, but now explain it to us. What do you mean it was the original one? What does that mean?
Well, so the Satoshi white paper basically, I haven't read the entire thing, but in a nutshell, in order to scale the network, you increase block size. You didn't add side chains. You didn't step outside of the architectural snapshot of how the software gets created. You basically said, okay, the blocks are full. We have to increase the block size. So any addition to the architectural paradigm of Bitcoin is no longer Bitcoin. It's something else. So, you know, the assumption that Bitcoin Cash is something else is preposterous. It's actually original Bitcoin with larger blocks.
So doesn't the larger block slow down the process, or does it speed it up?
That's an interesting question. We haven't gotten to see it because there are very few organizations that are that have enabled it, but I think over time you're going to see an increase in its enablement because there's a lot more room for more transactions, and thus the fees are actually significantly reduced. So, you know, as far as the difference between, like, the two of them in terms of speed, I'm not 100% certain in either space. I understand that, you know, 8-meg blocks take significantly more storage space, but, you know, storage is a relatively cheap commodity in the computing world. You know, as far as which one is a better currency, I want to stick to the white paper, but that's just a philosophical reason. The more, you know, realistic reason is that, you know, the fees are supposed to be significantly lower. So if we're using this as a currency and not an investment, then we need the lowest possible fees, otherwise it's preposterous to use it, right?
Right.
If we're using this as an investment, then it's a different story altogether.
All right, let me come back to that point in just a second, but let me take this opportunity for self-promotion here. Yours.org is currently using Bitcoin Cash because of the inexpensiveness of the transactions. They had gone to Litecoin away from the unoriginal Bitcoin, to Litecoin to improve the cost on their side of the equation, and now they've gone to Bitcoin Cash. For those of you that want to experience the joy of spending money in Bitcoin Cash, you can open an account at yours.org, and right there you will find in the crypto section the Henry Raines Show, and you can micropay us to show us your support, whether it's a nickel, a dime, 20 cents. I feel like I'm in front of 7-Eleven holding my hand out, but I would... I've done that before, years ago, of course. But and that was actually to get the guy to buy me some beer when I was 16. But never, that's a long digression. We won't go there. Yours.org. You can load almost any kind of cryptocurrency in it, whether it's Bitcoin, Litecoin, Bitcoin Cash, one of the other ones, and you just put $2 or $3 in there to open up your account, and you can vote on different content, whether it be our radio show or some article you really like. You just drop 2 or 3 cents, and actually it's a lot of fun for the content provider to see the number go up, even if it's still single digits. On the other side of the decimal point now, though, that's a good thing. But anyway, so you can find the Henry Raine Show at yours.org. We appreciate the support there, but you can also find it at almost any of the podcast platforms that you want, SoundCloud.com, Podomatic.com. I know there's a way to get it on iTunes. I'm hoping maybe one of the brain trust here will show me how to find it on iTunes, but I know I'm told it's there. And we're also on Stitcher.com, which is enabled in your car and on your cell phone as a good vehicle there. So to get all that back and to bring it back to a little promotion for Lee and Byte Federal again. So when the first split hit on Bitcoin Cash, people that come to a Byte Federal ATM in the local destinations, they are getting their cryptocurrency, but they are putting it in a wallet separate from the ATM. Is that correct?
That is correct.
So on the last split, you would have already had your Bitcoin. It would have split, and wherever you held your wallet, you would have gotten, hopefully, both variations of the Bitcoin. So
yes.
If someone goes to a Byte Federal ATM now and gets Bitcoin, wherever they place that wallet, then hopefully they'll get the current. When they get the Bitcoin now, which one are they getting out of a Byte Federal ATM?
They're getting the one that kept the Bitcoin name, which I think is using SegWit, the sidechain, but not V2, right?
Okay. All right. So from now until the next split, that's what you get. And then once you place that in a wallet prior to the split, post-split, it should split into Bitcoin, gold, and the whatever they had originally.
Yes.
Okay. And we're looking at each other because we're hearing a phone ring here and no lights on our phone board, which isn't surprising today.
No callers in, huh?
I actually do have an open phone line today. It's 888-761-1490, 888-761-1490. I hear the audience is growing vast for the live broadcast, and so we'd like some validation on that. So give us a call, 888-761-1490. We'll find a way to work you in. You'll probably just be thrown on the air, though, without any warning, except for the one I just gave you.
Lee, that's really interesting that you said that, because I always thought Bitcoin was the originator or is the original blockchain it held, and Bitcoin Cash was kind of the side chain. And in my investing, I actually invested in Bitcoin because of that. And I think that's really good information. It just shows you how powerful a name is as compared to, you know, the subject matter.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's really unfortunate that it went the other way. It just doesn't make any sense.
Well,
but whatever.
Why can't we go out and trademark Bitcoin right now? Seriously.
I don't think you can trademark that, but it shows you the power of sentiment. Had it gone the other way, and Bitcoin Cash would have been the.
I never see the little TMs on the.
Well, you can throw a TM on there and see how that works.
Don't put it past me. All right, let's keep this going. We are all digressing to something probably much worse. We have the same thing coming up with Ethereum in. Anyway, a matter of days, I guess. Quote, there's no reason to believe this one will be controversial. Just days away from making one of the biggest ever upgrades, confidence is high among Ethereum supporters that the world's second largest blockchain will avoid past mistakes and successfully navigate a coming change to its code base. Well, first of all, Lee, what does that mean, navigate a change to its code base?
Well, yeah, I mean, you just said, basically. They're going to modify the core code, the software that represents the functionality of Ethereum. I haven't studied much of what's happening in the Ethereum split, so I'm a lame in that regard. It's just, as far as a hard fork is concerned, it's a modification of the core software that represents whatever cryptocurrency it is.
Well, see, for those of us that don't know what the word code base means, when you tell us core software, that explains it to us. So,
thank you.
I think I read a little bit on that this morning just to kind of bring myself up to date, and it had something to do with proof of works or proof of state, proof of stake, excuse me, and that they're going to try to change from proof of works to a proof of stake chain, and that's about as far as I know, so maybe Lee can give us a little bit on the difference.
I'm sorry, I have absolutely no idea.
Okay. Well, someone that does have an idea, Ethereum Foundation developer designer Alex Van de Sand, told CoinDesk, "I expect that nothing will happen. Nothing happened with the previous hard forks except one." So that's Ethereum Classic, right, Lee?
The previous hard fork. I don't know.
Okay. All right. Well, I can...
I can tell you this from a market perspective. Expect anything to happen and everything.
Well, there's a series of upgrades designed to make Ethereum lighter, faster, and more private, which I think probably, literally, it's not lighter, because it's sort of none doesn't have mass, but not to split hairs. It's called Byzantium. It will be enacted at block 4,370,000. So set your clocks for that. It's how the change will be enacted, using a hard fork that has some of mindful of possible issues. A common yet sometimes controversial strategy for upgrading blockchains. Ethereum has gone through these three hard forks without complication, but one time it didn't. And I think Ethereum Classic probably is the original one on this too, isn't it? It gets the secondary name.
Did we lose
Lee?
I don't study Ethereum ever, so.
I can answer this question, yes, but that's all I really know, too. I like Ethereum. It's the world's greatest investment, in my opinion, besides Bitcoin. That's all I guess. But I know it's definitely Ethereum Classic because of the other one.
Okay. So who's going to win the American League Championship? You guys got an opinion on that?
I don't know what that is.
Me neither.
All right. Well, let's go to someone that had an opinion prior to the record price of Bitcoin. That was Michael Novogratz. I know Goldbug is familiar with this. He actually went on record when people were still calling it a bubble, Jamie Dimon and otherwise, and we'll play some of this, and feel free to jump in with comments as you hear something that strikes your interest.
Conference here in New York City for an exclusive interview. Mike, thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
By the way, he used to be with Fortress Capital, and he's getting ready to start his own venture capital fund involving cryptocurrencies.
Thank you.
People know you from Goldman Sachs. People know you from Fortress Investment. So what are you doing right now with Bitcoin? Raising a fund?
You know, I started investing in Bitcoin and then the whole ecosystem when I was at Fortress. And then as a private investor, I've been very active in the space. And
I'm sorry, did he just say the Holy Ghost system? Did I misunderstand him?
Maybe that's where Casper came from.
I have to get back on that. I'm sorry. And I'm sure I'll be embarrassed by what he actually said and my lack of hearing. But I was explaining to Colleen before the show started that people in radio at any time at all are deaf. So I will validate that point, too, right now. Let's try again with Michael here.
Thanks so much for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
People know you from Goldman Sachs. People know you from Fortress Investment. So what are you doing right now with Bitcoin? Raising a fund?
You know, I started investing in Bitcoin and then the whole ecosystem when I was at Fortress.
What did he say?
Whole ecosystem.
Oh. Well, who would not want to invest in that? I mean, forget Jamie Dimon. I'm going with the big guy. All right, I'm sorry. I couldn't let that one go. I wonder how I invested that. Alex, that's Solis Digital Assets assignment for next show. We want to be in the Holy Ghost cryptocurrency system.
There is a Christ coin just came out, too. It's definitely with the Christian church. I don't recommend that at all.
All right. I'm going to be agnostic about all the Holy Ghost system and Christ coins here for the time being. Let's continue with Michael here.
And then as a private investor, I've been very active in the space. And I never thought I'd actually come out of retirement, but the space is so exciting right now. Decided to build a business, and I've hired a whole bunch of smart guys, and we're going to raise a fund, we're going to build a business, and hopefully take advantage of the what I see as a revolution, actually, a decentralized revolution.
You're pouring a lot of money of your own into this fund. Reports say it's $150 million in what you hope to be a $500 million fund, Mike. Where are you investing right now? Is it strictly in the cryptocurrency, or are you also investing in the underlying blockchain technology?
You know, I'm investing in Bitcoin and Ethereum. in lots of different ICOs, in venture, in the ecosystem. We've mined. We took an approach way back that...
Lee, why aren't you getting in on this gravy train? With Pike
what Federal. Are you talking about?
Well, I mean, you got $500 million. That would buy a lot of ATMs for you to put out there.
Well, you know, from my perspective, you know, the just investing in cryptocurrency is probably the most intelligent thing. Mining is a complete loss. If every time you get an increase in difficulty, you have to massively increase the number of nodes you're running, which is a nightmare. And anybody who's played in the data center space knows that. So, you know, I'd avoid it. Avoid it all. Invest in ICOs at your own risk. Invest in varying cryptocurrency with proper amounts of, you know, intelligence and research. But ultimately, it's a great space to play in, but it's better, from my perspective, to use a scalpel instead of a shotgun. Focus on one thing, be excellent at it, and go on with your bad self.
Or put your spare $150 million out there, get $500 million from some other people, take your $150 million out, and then go play with your shotgun. There you go.
I just wasn't smart enough to know what exactly was going to win, and so play the whole ecosystem.
See, Lee called that right on the nose before he ever heard their audio.
That's
where do you see Bitcoin going? I mean, a lot of people have a lot of crazy predictions out there. So, what's yours?
Listen, you know, the one thing I've realized recently is I can hear the herd coming. I was just in San Francisco and met with a few big institutional investors, and they're still a ways away, but they're coming. Lots of funds are being raised, and so I'm pretty confident to say it's going higher. You know, the hard part about manias, and I think this will be a real mania, is you have to have a lot of imagination to think where things could go. And so often we set ourselves our own limitations by putting a price level on it. But, you know, it would not surprise me if in the next 6 to 10 months we're over 10,000.
Over 10,000.
All right, there's the money line right there. 6 to 10,000. Gold bug, you agree?
Absolutely. I think we have a path to 11 right now. A clear path.
All right. So, Lee, your thoughts?
I tend to agree. I think it'll go up. But as far as quantifying it, that's kind of silliness.
But it doesn't really make a difference to your business plan. Otherwise, the good fortune for your customers turns into good fortune for you.
Yeah.
But really, you're a utility almost.
Yeah, that's exactly correct. Okay. We're always buying and we're always selling, and it's ebb and flow is really basically inconsequential.
And one thing I want to point out to listeners who might become customers or clients of Bike Federal, they're not going out, and correct me if I'm wrong, please, they're not going out on exchange as you put your money in and buying it, making a money on the transaction back and forth on the exchange. You have to maintain an inventory for this, correct?
Yes.
All right. So whatever, you're taking the risk in holding the inventory, too. You must have been sweating bullets when you saw that thing go down below 3,000.
We moved most of our fund back to cash prior to that decline. As many people probably know, Leonard Lopin is my CTO. He's in charge of arbitrage, and he's very focused on it. And so far, our statistics are that we win 75% of the time and lose 25%. So, I mean, we're up overall since we started business significantly on that on the arbitrage play. So it's not a big deal. I think one of the cool aspects, was it Goldbug said, is that he's 70% in and 30%, or 70% long-term, 30% short-term. The reality of that is that staying in coin is generally much, much more beneficial than not staying in coin. It's just, you know, you have to, the timing can't be don't buy high, right? But where is the high? It just keeps escalating in value.
Well, actually, another philosophy, whether you're trading currencies or stocks, is you buy when it reaches a new high because as a stock gets higher, it means it's continually reaching new highs. So we can argue it every way up and down and around.
Well, I think the good news about if you bought high is you just have to wait and there'll be a new high.
Right. So, Lee, we need to wrap up this segment. For those of you who are just listening right now, we started late. We're going to run over late. So we're sort of in the first half of the show still, even though some of you may think we're three-quarters of the way through. We will be coming back on the other side of the break, and we'll be finding out more about Crypto Noob Girl, Colleen, and her Twitter timeline and what that's meant and to meet people on Twitter and become a spokesperson for a whole genre of crypto enthusiasts. But, Lee, Bite Federal ATMs. I know right here in the Bradenton listening area down at the Shell Station, 34th Street and Cortez Road in Sarasota, I believe Clark Road in Honoree at the Marathon Station. There's at Ferg's Live in downtown Tampa, Ferg's in St. Pete near the Trop. And what other ones do we want to make people aware of? I know Englewood, Treasure Island. You have some other new ones in the area yet?
We put one recently in Punta Gorda at 615 Cross Street. And I don't know if the one in Fort Myers matters, but there's at the Downtown Liquors.
That's an interesting placement.
Yeah. There's two new liquor stores with Bitcoin ATMs, PGI Liquors and Downtown Liquors. PGI is in Punta Gorda, and Down T is in North Fort Myers.
And she'll be embarrassed that I mentioned this, but I was on Crypto Noob Girl's timeline before the show, and she retweeted or reposted a tweet about how to know when, from a crypto perspective, when you've had too much to drink.
That would
cheese. We'll get all that on the other side.
We call that doggy coin.
All right. Lee, thanks for making time for us. Thanks for all your patience as we worked out the technical difficulties at the beginning of the show. And we look forward to you shedding some light on issues in the future.
Thank you.
All right, thank you. All right, coming back on the other side of the break, we'll hear what's going on with Christine Lagarde of the International Monetary Fund. The president of the World Bank has things to say. We'll have revisit Jamie Dimon. And, of course, as promised, we'll find out more about Colleen and Crypto Noob Girl timeline right after this.
If in fact you can't crack that at all, government can't get in, then everybody's walking around with a Swiss bank account in their pocket.
Minding my own on my BTC. Rhymes with the homie, that's TDV. Got that LTC and that ETH. Watch me wreck this beat while we eat their cake. Can't block this chain, best in crypto stash. Yeah, we got big gains, that's that crypto cash. Politicians hate it, bankers wish they made it. We could starve the beast, stop the war machine, maybe. Tried to call us crazy, very ineffectual. You pay me, lazy intellectuals. Haha, yeah, we're laughing at these banks. Swiss accounts for all, no taxes for the state. Yeah.